Chair, just want to confirm and clarify that there will be no young adult class this morning after English service. But with that, may we open with a word of prayer. Our gracious Father and Lord God in heaven, we are coming together in this morning hour to worship and praise thee, to magnify thy name most holy. And as we open up the scriptures to read the words that have been penned and inspired by thy Holy Spirit, we recognize, O Lord, that we are coming to a wisdom that is much higher than our own. And we pray that with humble hearts that we would come before thee, that we would learn that which is good for our souls, and that those who do not know thee would learn to be beginners and followers of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that those who are thy children would be encouraged to a commitment and a dedication to follow in thy teachings, that all of our lives would be immersed in the leading of the Holy Spirit. These things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord, we desire to read this morning from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11, beginning with verse 17.
Brati naši, da se čita iz prve poslanice apostola Pavla Korinčanima, 11. glava od 17. stiha i nadalje.
Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. May the Lord. Beloved in the Lord, we have before us a passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul is bringing a word of correction to the church in Corinth. We see that because Paul says, "Now in this that I declare unto you," what he's about to say and what he's about to describe, he says, "I praise you not." He doesn't have a word of commendation for them in this practice that he's about to describe, but says that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. And the Apostle Paul brings this word of correction in a way that shows his love for these believers and his desire for them to grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that they would see that there is a better way than what they are currently pursuing. And so with a very winsome expressions, he urges and pleads with the church to consider their way. The topic that he addresses in this correction is a meal that the Corinthian church and other churches would have shared, where they would come together to eat. And the first example of that is recorded in Acts chapter 2, where the scripture says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they and all that believed were together and had all things common." And so it was a practice in that early church, and it would have been a similar practice in other churches to come together for a meal where those that had abundance could bring what the Lord had blessed, and those who were perhaps more poor would be able to be provided for. It is an expression of the body of Christ to love and care for one another, an opportunity to give, an opportunity to share, to have things in common. That is the intent, and that was the that's the example that the scripture gives. But the way that the Corinthians were practicing, it did not reflect those ideals. And if it were a matter of simply not sharing food, and Apostle Paul came out and said, "You're not sharing your food, share your food," some might think, well, that's a small issue, and might not take it very seriously. So Apostle Paul begins this way. "First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." The idea of divisions and heresies within the church is something that would prick the interest and would be something that perhaps would tug at the heart as something a little bit more serious and would not so easily be dismissed. He is trying to get the attention of the church to take heed to this thing that if he just came out and said, you're not sharing in this way, they might dismiss as a small thing. But Apostle Paul is elevating. And these small things. And I'm reminded of the teachings of Jesus Christ. He says in the parable of the talents, to those who occupied and used their talents well, he says, it's actually in Matthew chapter 25. I don't want to misquote it. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Jesus entrusts us with the few. And again, in Luke chapter 16, he speaks of money. And Luke chapter 16 here, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. The Lord is showing his care for the little things, for things that are common or would be considered common in our everyday life. And Apostle Paul wants the Corinthian church to recognize that this common meal, this simple expression of love and sharing, is actually very profound in its meaning. And that simple things and common things in our life reflect what is in our hearts and our spiritual condition. He compares this gathering together to eat to the essence and the practice as he had received of communion. And it's not so much of a comparison as it is a contrast, because the nature of communion and the sharing and the giving that is expressed in that was very different and a stark contrast to how their, I'm going to use a term, how their real life was going, how their everyday was transpiring. He says that he partly believed in the divisions and the heresies, and he recognized that there were some who were not affected by this practice of selfishness and indulgence that was taking place. Not all. Some were still expressing that love with a pure heart. And they were showing that they were examples of Christ's love, and they were occupying, and they were being busy about God's business. And this sort of individual that can keep their garments clean, can faithfully follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the midst of a perverse world, and maybe a level of commitment and dedication that is perhaps subpar with what the Bible calls us to. Scripture says, mark those that ye have. So, for an example, use them as your example. Those that are striving to truly please the Lord in all the little things. And they were being made manifest, as it says, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Just as if we would take a flashlight outside, maybe today is not such a good example because it's not so sunny, but in the sunshine, you don't see a flashlight. But when the sun sets, you definitely see the benefit and the help. And so too, when the atmosphere and the environment is dark and is not as it should be, those lights that are shining, they do make an impact. They do come out. They do make themselves known. So the Apostle Paul says, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, making a distinction here in this practice. In eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. Some who had come early or had brought something, they may have stayed together with a certain group, even as Apostle Paul identified that there were groups within the Corinthian church where one says, I'm Paul, I'm Apollos, I am of Christ. Are they separating themselves into groups along teaching lines, perhaps? Are they separating themselves along socioeconomic lines where those that are rich are taking the food immediately and then those that are poor are left out and are ashamed? As it says, one is hungry. And look to what extent they're going. This is not just moderate eating. It says one is hungry and another is drunken. It's evil to allow the desires of the flesh to allow us to become drunken. And it is evil to forego providing for the needs of the poor. But when they come together, how great is that evil? How far is that heart from God in this practice? In the common everyday life, in simple things. The purpose of their coming together was to share. And if they were not willing to share, they were instructed to eat a little bit at home first so that they could hold back and be ready for the purpose why they were coming together. It says, do you despise ye the church of God? That's a pretty strong statement. To despise the church? Well, I could imagine someone in Corinth that would become self-defensive and say, no, we come to the services and we keep the ordinances. They were commended in the previous verses for doing that. But it is despising the church of God, God's body, when we neglect the purpose for why we are brought together. Later on in the next chapter, Apostle Paul, actually, verse 17 marks a pretty clear distinction between topics that relate to our personal and everyday life before this, and then starts talking about public worship, beginning in verse 17 and on, as he talks about the church. Them coming together, the church, spiritual gifts, and so on, and preaching and prophesying. He talks about public worship beginning here. And he continues in this thought and says in the next chapter that God hath tempered the body together. There's a reason why we are together. And the reason is that there should be no schism in the body, that there should be no division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And where one has abundance, that they can provide for where another has lack. And that has so many beautiful expressions and applications, whether it's with food and finances for those who have need, or maybe it's someone who needs support, someone that's going through a hard time, someone who is going through health challenges, someone whose family is struggling. There's so many ways. And we should be open when we are in need to share the need, And when we are, God teaches us about the beauty of how he provides for the need through the church. And we would miss out on a blessing if we didn't share our needs one with another. And our faith would become stronger when we share our weakness and our need with each other. And God has blessed us in so many different ways, physically and all the other ways that the church needs to be equipped to provide. And I feel that it's almost as if, like, I think of an example of a dam holding back a large body of water. There is a great desire to share that love, to help one who's in need, that can be found in the body of Christ. They're looking for ways to do that. And what a good way to be exercised in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we make ourselves available to be served. And then when the time comes, to serve. The Apostle Paul then begins to make a distinction between this common meal and the Lord's Supper. And I believe that this is part of his approach to come to them in tenderness and to speak to their hearts, because these are believers and they have heard, even as Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." The Apostle Paul was not an innovator in faith or in practices, but faithfully passed down the things that he had received. And so he knew what the Corinthians were taught and believed. And he knew that they knew the tenderness of the love of Jesus Christ and the importance of the final words that he spoke to his disciples before he would be crucified. And he appeals to them. He says, "Take a look at your life. Take a look at the common things and the practices. And then take a look at Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Master and our King, the same night in which he was betrayed. Not in the moment when he was well taken care of and provided for physically, although certainly he was taken care of by his Father. But even in this low time, he took bread. And first he gave thanks. And then he broke it and said, 'Take.'" Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, said, "Take. Eat. This is my body." The believers in Corinth would be reminded that Jesus gave himself for us and for them. And it should make them stop and think. Jesus shared his all, and yet, why am I unwilling to share in this common thing, in food? Maybe I need to hear, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget what Jesus has done for us in allowing his body to be broken, his side to be pierced, to take the suffering that we justly deserved, and then take that in and allow that to transform our heart, that we would live and follow in that manner, in the manner and the pattern that Jesus gave as he took that bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he says, after the same manner, in the same way, in the same pattern, the same footsteps that we say that we follow, he took the cup and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye. This do ye. Follow. As oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. The church had received the practice, an ordinance of communion, to be a time of remembrance, but also to be a demonstration of the Lord's death. Apostle Paul begins speaking about partaking of the cup of communion unworthily in the context of the correction that they needed to hear regarding things common and their regular life. We can read the scripture and say, communion's coming. It's time to examine. It's time to humble our hearts. It's time to fast. But that's not the message at all. The examination that Apostle Paul is calling the church to is to examine their common life, to examine how they take part in common meals, and to recognize that that is the preparation. That is how we demonstrate and show the Lord's death. There is not something that in their time of special communion that would be revealed to the world, but it would be their common life. Apostle Paul is calling them to examine that in preparation, so that they could be ready. And we know that we seek to please the Lord and follow him, and yet in this flesh we often falter and we fall short. And yet, Apostle Paul is calling us to strive, to seek to be following in that narrow way. Perhaps not to be a flawless representation, though that is what we should strive for, but at least to be a credible demonstration of the Lord's death. The Corinthians weren't even being credible in how they were living and practicing. And this was for them to reflect upon, to examine themselves. In preparation. May the Lord speak to each of us as we consider how to be faithful in that which is least, in the small things. That our soul and that our heart and that our unity in Christ would be reflected in those things. And that God would receive honor and glory that he is so worthy of. May God bless his word. Amen.
Appreciated the message, for both in terms of the meditation and song selections and the prayer that was offered. Speaks to what God would want for us. Jesus, the Word of God says that love works no ill toward his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love works no ill toward his neighbor. So the Corinthians were not commended because they lacked that love toward their neighbor. They thought to eat more of themselves and they thought more about themselves. And they lacked that love. Love is a self-sacrifice. Love means that we take the short end of the stick and the other gets the benefit at our cost. That's what love is. It's self-sacrificing. And so we are being challenged that we would arise as believers and let the light of Jesus Christ shine. And so a couple verses were referenced this morning that where Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful in few things." And this is what we are being challenged to as believers, that we would rise up and love our neighbor and be faithful even in these small things, as the Apostle Paul was bringing out to the Corinthians. In this small matter where you're eating together, one is drunken and the other's hungry, show love even in that time, even in this small thing. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. If we love the Lord and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will be faithful even in small things, even in matters where we think that, well, that's too trivial. No, love will care for those items as well. And so we were encouraged this morning. Let's be faithful to the Lord, love him, love our neighbor, even in the small matters. Amen.